Good morning. This is Taylor Dethridge from Alien Entertainment, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for November 13th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflo.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, the best way to find out all the answers to all the questions we have is to find our local magician, Tim Kate, and have him come in to explain some of the dark arts.
He's just going to be a voice, isn't he? He's going to be invisible, but just a voice.
Well, that's how radio works.
So that's awesome.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm ignited and excited and happy to be here.
Wow. That's a good catchphrase. Is that your catchphrase? Ignited and excited and happy to be here? Is that how you open your show?
No, I think I stole it from another magician.
Nice! That's how the magician
inspired,
work, right?
Inspired by another magician.
That's what we do.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You know, here's the thing. You guys in our audience, you have such great ideas, and you share your ideas with us on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and you send us a message on our voicemail. And Tim, you went on to the Facebook, and you wrote a message to us, and you said, hey, why aren't you guys talking about The Haunting of Hill House?
I did. Actually, I did it several times, actually.
I know.
And the first time, I said, hey, great show, but you guys should check out Haunting of Hill House. It's really good. And then I think your Halloween show rolled around. I'm like, oh, maybe they'll talk about it. Like, no, they didn't. I'm like, oh, you know, disappointed you didn't talk about Haunting of Hill House. And then I think it was last week. Yeah, another good show. Still no Haunting of Hill House. And Steve is like, well, how come? Why don't you come on the show and talk about it? And here we are.
Here you are.
You've worn us down. I have no self-esteem anyway at this point. But I did start watching it.
I did too, and because Tim told me to.
Well, I watched it a little earlier. But I'm so glad that you finished it, because I'm about halfway through. How far are you, Steve?
I'm about halfway through as well. So we're not going to go spoilers on this, Tim. So don't ruin the ending for us. But we really want to talk about what this show is and why it's so good.
So let's back up 1 second. This show came out in October. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So it's streaming as part of the streaming service.
Right.
And this has gotten really good reviews. In fact, Stephen King came out and said this was something you should watch.
Wow.
So it's, you know, Stephen
That's
King.
High praise.
And Tim. So mm-hmm. We've got two people who've really enjoyed this, along with a whole bunch of other good stuff.
So, Tim,
so let's start.
Tim, tell us about The Haunting of Hill House. Give us the general synopsis on this show.
Sure. The Haunting of Hill House is about what happens when Elliot from E.T. marries the mom from Spy Kids and they move into a haunted house so they can flip it.
I got that going on.
The show is about the Crane family. And Mr. and Mrs. Crane move into Hill House with their 5 kids. Mm-hmm. And we bounce back and forth between their time at the house and then later on when the kids are adults.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the series is billed as a horror series. And it's a very good horror series. But first and foremost, I think this is a family drama. Mm-hmm. It's just in a horror setting. They're in a haunted house. And I read somewhere somebody compared it to if This Is Us was a horror movie. And that's pretty close.
That's pretty close. These family members all have their own issues that they're dealing with, and they're all finding their way through life. That's kind of that family drama piece.
Yeah, they have a ton of baggage. Mm-hmm. Something bad happens at this house when they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has come to terms with it in all these years, and now they're adults. And let's just say they aren't spending Thanksgiving watching Mystery Science Theater together. That's not that family.
Oh, this family is suffering, Tim.
It is. It's
they
it's
are.
Bad.
They are all suffering in their own way, and they're all dealing with this pain in their own way. And we see some of the results through each of their lives as they've grown to be adults.
Yes, and I mean, you guys are, you said you're about halfway through the episodes.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you noticed this. This show reminds me a lot of Lost, where sometimes they'll spend one episode on one character, and they're giving you bits and pieces of a puzzle. And in the next episode, they're going to give you more info from somebody else's perspective. So just in case you might know what happened, but then in the next episode, you're like, oh, so that's what really happened, from because you see this guy's perspective. And, you know, they're not going to spoon feed you anything, and they're going to assume you're smart enough to connect some of the dots on your own.
Which is one of the beauties of the streaming services, and where we've been able to take movies and sort of expand them out. We haven't had to spoon feed everyone. We've been able to kind of, these are grown-up movies. And
right.
They do take a number of episodes, sometimes too many. But this one seems to be a good pacing, good colors.
And the suspense factor, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm wondering, when is the jump scare going to happen? It could be at any moment. And sometimes it comes and sometimes it doesn't. This is all about the mind and the study of the psychology of all of these characters.
And I want to mention, the tropes that I saw was the use of sound. Mm-hmm. And without seeing things, the use of sounds. And I remember, I think it was a movie called The Haunting. It was maybe a black and white film where they never showed the ghost. They just heard the banging against the walls. Mm-hmm. And it was a scary, scary film. They use a lot of those types of things in this show where you see a lot of stuff, but you're also using a lot of just, it's going on around them. And the actors are reacting to what's going on.
And the editing on this is really good too. They show us enough to make us scared, and they give us enough empty, hollow time where we're anticipating. And the anticipation is the part that really might get you psychologically in this. What do you think, Tim?
I agree. This was directed by Mike Flanagan. And Mike Flanagan, he also did Hush and Gerald's Game, and he's directing the sequel to The Shining, which I believe is called,
Called
Bad Times at the Overlook Hotel Royale, I think. No, I'm kidding about that.
No, not quite, Tim. Now, see, I'm going to get into my Tool Time impression and go, I don't think so, Tim.
You nailed it dead on, where he really knows what he's doing with the camera work. And I will mention, episode 6 is an amazingly directed episode. And I won't say anything about it. I was about 10 minutes in until I realized I'm seeing something special here. And if you read some of the reviews, they'll all mention episode 6 as just one of those episodes.
Kind of like episode 7 of Castle Rock, if you remember that. That was a very special twist in the story of Castle Rock, where we saw from a completely different perspective what was happening, and that really stuck with me throughout the series. So
I have to admit, I have not seen Castle Rock yet.
I think you would like that one, my friend.
There's your next. We say watch Castle Rock.
This is a trade-off sort of thing. You'll have to come back and tell us how much you loved or hated Castle Rock on our recommendation.
And Castle Rock, you can find on Hulu.
Right, that's a Hulu show as opposed to a Netflix show.
I actually skipped your Castle Rock episode because I didn't want any spoilers. So
I don't know. Did we do spoilers on that? I think we did. Spoilers on that one. So yeah, you'll have to go back and watch that show and then listen to Too Much Scrolling's spoilerific episode on Castle Rock. Let's go through some of the characters in The Haunting of Hill House. The oldest of the five children is Stephen Crane. He becomes a horror author, a famous horror author named Stephen. That has nothing to do with anything, I'm sure, right, Tim?
You know, I'm not sure. This was based on Shirley Jackson's 1959 novel, and I have not read the novel, so I don't know the characters' names in that book. But I picked up on the name Stephen as well as a horror writer, so you got it. think it had to do something with Stephen King.
And the fact is that Stephen King wrote in 1981 that the 1959 Haunting of Hill House is amongst the greatest horror supernatural novels in the last 100 years. So Stephen King loved this novel back in 81.
So, Steve, are you saying that next October this could be our read?
Oh, sure.
There we go. So we will officially announce it, but next year around October,
we'll have Tim back
we'll have a homework assignment and we'll all read this book together.
There you go. So the second oldest in the family is Shirley. She becomes a funeral home director after her trauma in this story.
I don't know. She's a difficult person to unpack. It seems like she's still harboring a lot of things against her siblings, especially Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
About some things that happened. So
these are all complex characters. These are not absolutely flat characters at all. They are all very, very full of the past and the present. And we are delving into their psychology here. Shirley has a very deep psychology about death and how she maintains her life.
Well, you know, she uses... actually paints the dead is really what she does,
and she cares for the dead.
Sure.
Yeah,
her father, when they were children, always had a line, because he's flipping this house, he would come into a problem and he would be like, all right, I can fix this. And you hear her, that's the same way she approaches a dead body when she's preparing it for a viewing. And she says, I can fix this.
It's like it's like Chip Gaines. He kind of opens up that big thing. And all of a sudden, the house is revealed. The person is revealed.
All the kittens are in there and they have to...
Yeah,
this is kind of this old haunted house, isn't it? they're flipping this house. That's very 2018 in that 1980s life that we're living in this movie.
All I can say is that's a big house to flip. That's a lot of work.
A lot of work that they're putting into flipping this house, that's for sure. The third on the list of children is Theodora, or Theo Crane. She's the middle child, the black sheep of the family sometimes, and she's the one who's got, she's built up a psychological barrier between herself and others, and she wears gloves sometimes so that people don't touch her.
And that's interesting, because she's probably one of my favorite characters, and she's, I think, also one of the most complex characters. She's wearing these gloves, and you don't know why for a while. And then once you figure out why she does wear her gloves, she has this, we'll say this quirk about her.
An extra level to her psychology, at least.
Yes. And what she chooses to do with that, I think if superheroes were real, I think this is what they would really be doing. So
she, of course,
if you remember,
go ahead.
Yeah, if you remember her episode, you know, it kind of comes through what the deal with her is. But yeah, she's one of my favorite characters, and there's a lot going on with her.
And the other thing about her is she takes on the caring role, and she cares about people in a very deep way. She becomes a child psychologist, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That deep caring for children, that empathy, that understanding on a level different from her family is interesting.
Which is funny, because as a child, she wasn't like that at all. She was very aloof and just very, I guess cold is a strong word, but it's how she was. And so she has almost these two sides to her, really. She has what she does as a child psychologist and what she's really like at home.
So the next one on the list is Luke and his twin sister, Nell. Luke has a trouble as an adult and is facing his issues in this series.
Substance abuse?
Substance abuse is the way that this character goes about trying to resolve the way his mind works. And he cares deeply, but he's got this addiction issue.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues that this family is facing.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke's episode had to do with addiction. And this was, I think, one of the more difficult episodes to watch, just because of what he was going through dealing with this addiction. And I think it's, like you said, there's a lot of 2018 problems in this show. And I think this is one of them.
Yeah, the desperation of his character, where he really wants to stop with his substance abuse, but he can't find a way out from under it. He's trying as hard as he can, and something keeps drawing back and taking him from his life. It's really heartbreaking. The last one on the list is his twin sister, Nell. She is the baby of the family in a lot of ways, and she finds a way to deal with her feelings, which is a tragedy to the rest of the family.
Yeah, her episode is extremely heartbreaking. I don't know if you got to hers yet.
I have not.
Okay, so I'll keep quiet about that. But after hers, you're going to learn a lot of information about what went wrong with this family and what they're dealing with now as adults. And I won't say anything else about her, but
we can talk about the metaphors of this show. There's the metaphor of addiction. There's the metaphor of suicide. There's the metaphor of loneliness that these characters are going through these things, and we are seeing them. We could look at them on just the surface of this is a horror haunted house story where these things are happening, or we can delve deeper into it and think, well, maybe these things really aren't happening. They're just in their minds. Is that how you watch this, Tim?
And that's a theme. I believe Steven brings it up at one point where he thinks that most of it was just in their minds. And I think the director and the writers really let you decide early on, is this in their minds or is this really happening? So, you know, you have to keep your mind open when you're watching this, what actually is happening.
This isn't Freddy Krueger. This isn't Jason. This is not a monster who's coming after you and you have to run away. This is psychological.
It's very psychological. This, I mean, it is a family drama, but it also has some, it is an excellent horror series.
Sure.
And there are some fantastic, fun, and terrifying scares. And there's, when I watch these shows, my wife isn't interested and my kids go to bed. So I go downstairs and I'm watching it. And there were a couple times where I just had to say, nope, let's come back later today.
And speaking as a father, this certainly the characters who are struggling, we're all fathers here, and we know about the struggles of our kids and how much they impact us. The father in this series has his own issues to deal with, along with the issues of these five kids.
I think it takes a father to appreciate just how much he's dealing with, because he has these five kids and they're all dealing with something. His wife is dealing with something. He's got this house to deal with, which, you know, it's he's flipping a haunted house. Things aren't going well, you know, and it's you'll find out sometimes it may get worse for him. So, and then also as adults, you'll see what he's still dealing with, because like I said, something bad happens and no one has come to terms with it. No one has talked about stuff that's happened at this house, and that's what you're leading up to.
This is such good television. We live in an era where there's such great television out there. We missed this one for Halloween.
Well, it seems like it's great storytelling. And we've got, in fact, the beauty of today and why today we are sort of a renaissance of production is that you can choose to have a theatrical release, or you can choose to have a streaming release and you can expand your story. In fact, there are so many movies we're watching now and we go, you know, that really should have been a series. They shouldn't have been a 2-hour movie.
Ready Player One is a great example of that. That would have been a fantastic 6-hour miniseries, maybe 10 hours like this one. And I agree with you. The storytelling in this is so well designed, and it really keeps your attention for the entire time.
Yes. The one thing I miss about this show, and this is nitpicky stuff, it's just the world we live in, When you used to watch a show like Lost or something, or Breaking Bad, whatever your favorite show was, you'd watch it, and then you'd have a week to talk about it mm-hmm. and really unpack it and possibly watch it again. And you see, read something online, like, oh, I didn't know that. So I think with when they release all 10 episodes together, like I said, I love watching shows one after the other, mm-hmm. but you really don't get to unpack, okay, what did I just saw, and to think about it and really, you know, delve into it. Because I would talk to my wife about shows, and we talk about them for a week, and then we'd be able to dive back into the second episode. So with this, I almost want to go back and watch it again, because I did miss things. You know, you read reviews about it, and there is actually some background ghosts that you may have missed watching it.
I did see that article. Yeah.
So now I want to go back and, you know, what did I miss?
And you don't have time to talk about it on a podcast. We didn't do a podcast about this until now because we were neglectful.
Well,
you weren't neglectful. You had other shows to watch.
Yes.
I mean, you did Sabrina, which I'm watching now. You did that for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And there's just other things to watch. And especially when they release 10 hours all at once, that's a lot to get through.
And that's where we get to the part where it's a renaissance, in mm-hmm. the sense that there's so many wonderful things to watch. You're going to miss things. And if there's ever a point where you say, listen, I need something to watch, you can grab it. In mm-hmm. fact, I've been reviewing Game of Thrones,
right,
which is something that came out a long, long time ago. Why? Because I had other things to see.
Mm-hmm. So overall, you got to see the whole series, Tim. You finished it. Tell us, what is your review? Should our listeners go in and seek out The Haunting of Hill House?
They absolutely should. Even you, if you are not a horror fan, and I'm hearing that from quite a few people, well, I don't like horror series. I think they'll still like this. This is, like you said, this is not a slasher. It's not a Freddy Krueger. It's not a blood and guts type horror series. It is very psychological. There is some violence, but nothing over the top. It's mostly, there's a few good jump scares, and it's mostly psychological, scary stuff. So, but yeah, it is scary, but there's also, it's a very well-crafted TV show. I absolutely recommend it.
Very good. And where can our listeners find more from you? What are you doing with your day? And tell us about your magic act.
Yeah, I am a full-time magician. You can go to timkatemagicshow.com. I also have another website called UncleSamAssembly.com. Mm. And this is my Uncle Sam school assembly show, where I talk about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, Shays Rebellion, the Articles of Confederation. But we do it in a fun, funny way, magical way.
Nice.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Nice. Are you on social media? Or can we find you on Facebook?
I am on Facebook, and Facebook's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
And that's at Chicago Birthday Magician?
Yes.
All right. We'll put that into our show notes. Tim, thanks so much for coming in, and thanks for telling us that we needed to watch this show. Any of our other listeners, if you have suggestions for stuff that we've missed, please send us an email, send us a voicemail, look us up on Facebook, and tell us what we're missing. We'll be happy to watch some really good TV like The Haunting of Hill House. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys very much. It was a blast.
You've gotten a chance to watch the first on Hulu. Tell us all about that one.
All right. The first star is that guy from Fast Time at Ridgemont High. Like, a lot of people didn't know what happened to him. And Mr. Hand took away his pizza, and I guess it inspired him to straighten himself up, Steve.
Oh, poor Sean Penn. Sean Penn certainly has been a star for a long time, and we know way too much about Sean Penn to see him in any role at this point, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
Let's just say that this was put together by Bo Willimon. He was the gentleman who put together The House of Cards,
which was really popular, and you really liked House of Cards.
Especially the first couple seasons.
Okay.
They were really, really good, and that was a remake of a British show. This has got that same beautiful coloring. It's a very tight-looking show, so it's got beautiful visuals. And it really starts out with sort of a very timely issue. This is about a group of astronauts, and we're going to go to Mars.
They're going to be the first Mars expedition.
So our first show starts out, and by the way, I'm about halfway finished, so I haven't finished the entire series.
Okay.
And it's eight shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts out something that hit us pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much like the Challenger back in 1986 when it went up and blew up. So the whole time, this whole first episode you're watching.
With these high expectations.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. And you're going through it. The astronauts are getting on. They're going to Mars.
The emotion is running high. And then disaster strikes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And everybody is obviously, you know, taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds a whole bunch of you know, this event that happened in our youth.
And that's where I stopped watching this show. Because
really?
in my youth, in 1986, the Challenger was a huge deal for me. It was, I am one of those people that loves talking about space travel and loves the adventure, the idea of it. But the tragedy of the Challenger was something that's overwhelming to me to this day. And watching it again in this form was not something I wanted to visit anymore.
And something we have to be conscious of is the young people who are younger than us,
mm-hmm.
who they have to be 19 or 20, Steve, because, you know, we're so young. They did not experience that.
They don't remember 1986 the same way we do.
That's right. So our parents may mm-hmm. have seen JFK got mm-hmm. being shot, and that may have been something that caught their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was when Martin Luther King was shot in 68. But for us, you know, this 86 event was the thing where everybody goes, oh, I know exactly where it was.
Yep.
I was in a department store.
Mm-hmm.
I was working there at the time. I was in the back in sort of where all the boxes were. And I just happened to be walking by when this was going up, and I just happened to turn and I got to see this.
Yeah.
And so this was, you know, if you can think about where you were when this.
I was in sixth grade in the classroom, and the nuns brought in the TV, wheeled the TV into the room because we were going to watch this amazing moment where we were going to go into space, and there was a teacher on board, and it was all about us. And then the tragic moment, it still haunts me.
All right, so the zeitgeist of this is that we are going to go to Mars, Steve.
Yes,
within
we are.
Our lifetime,
mm-hmm.
we are going to see humans land on Mars.
It's
going
to happen.
So we know that's going to happen. In fact, we can guarantee it through our children's mm-hmm. Lifetime that it'll happen.
Right.
But we also tend to forget when we're watching science fiction how dangerous and how unforgiving space is,
mm-hmm.
and how we still are humans and we're doing this extraordinary thing. So the reason why I think this was a very important, you know, springboard to this idea is that we really underestimate the human ingenuity and the danger it takes
mm-hmm.
to get us to that moment.
Yeah.
So from there, the story goes on. Sean Penn's character is a person that may have been, he was training, but he was not part of that crew.
Right.
And he's going to be part of the new crew.
Right. Of course he is, because he's the star of the show. We knew that was going to happen. I was surprised that he wasn't on the crew at the beginning, and that's what led me to know that was not going to be successful.
And of course, you know, after he finishes this, I don't know if you saw this, but when he plays Andrew Jackson, his next role, that has moved from HBO to the History Channel.
Really?
So that's really interesting.
That's intriguing.
And I thought this would be done by now, but it wasn't. So eventually he's going to show up as a president, Steve.
Okay. So you like the first so far? You think that our listeners would like this?
If this is on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are like moving from service to service for a few months.
A month here and a month there. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, watch Castle Rock one day and then watch the first. I think you've got all these beautiful shows. Go and explore some of their originals. And this is this was very good. Very good so far.
Nice. We have some movies opening this week in the theaters. The first one is Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald. This is the Harry Potter world where they have weird names for stuff.
3 points for Gryffindor, Steve.
This is Eddie Redmayne as the magizoologist Newt Scamander. Do you love this Harry Potter stuff still?
I do.
Okay, I do. I never got into the Harry Potter stuff. There's something about it that just doesn't appeal to me.
Your fantasy wizards are at Star Wars.
Star Wars and Doctor Who. Let's not call science fiction fantasy, but it's fantasy when they take out a magic wand. But there's a lot of people that are going to love this movie.
Absolutely. Johnny Depp's going to be in this. He is. And we also have Jude Law in this. Mm-hmm. So we've got a great cast. It's going to look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And for all those young people who grew up, when you talk Star Wars jive, Steve, mm-hmm. the young whippersnappers, they talk Harry Potter.
That's right. Harry Potter is certainly their Star Wars. It is their thing that they talk about and probably will for the next 30 years like I did with Star Wars.
That's because it came from books. It's probably even a better story.
It's probably better story writing. But Star Wars is pretty good story writing, too, because the George Lucas was really into telling the story for the first three.
For the first three? Okay.
Don't worry about those other movies.
For the first three, you can still tell there's like, it wasn't...
There's this arc.
Where they were kind of just... We were saying there's an arc, but he was still writing the whole time, because mm-hmm. nothing really jives really... upon reviewing. So we just say The Empire Strikes Back was really good, Steve.
Yes, it was. It was a real good story. There is a movie called Instant Family that's coming out. This is Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne.
Say hello to your mother for me, Steve.
Here's a Wahlberg. So they buy a house and they decide that they want to fill it with children. And so they go to adopt a child and they find out that this one child comes with two siblings. So they get three kids in their house all of a sudden and hilarity ensues.
Well, what can I say? This is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I would see this.
It's a family sort of thing. It's a
I'm not going to go see Harry Potter. I'm going to go see this one.
Well, there's a lot of people that are in situations very similar to this. All of our listeners who are a part of adoptions and sure. blended families and all of the things, all of the psychology that goes along with that. This is a look at some of the pain and some of the comedy that can happen in those situations. There's one called Widows. This is directed by Steve McQueen, who had previously directed the 2013 Best Picture winner, 12 Years a Slave.
This looks really good.
I agree with you. This is a story about some women who are dealing with loss. They are widows. Their husbands were taken from them, and this is in contemporary Chicago, and they have to go on a heist, a caper, to do something dangerous.
There's a mob coming after us, Steve.
In Chicago? No.
It's all fictional, Steve.
That's right. This is all just imaginary. This looks really good. I think this is one that I will catch eventually. Probably not in the theater. I'm not an action-adventure kind of guy, but there seems to be some really strong characters in this story and probably a really strong story to it.
Steve, is there maybe a movie coming up that stars Norman Osborn?
Yes. Willem Dafoe is playing Vincent Van Gogh in a movie called At Eternity's Gate.
Now, Steve, I thought that Green Goblin died.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And I thought Vincent Van Gogh died, too.
Yes. They are both. This is a ghost story. This is a really intriguing look at Vincent Van Gogh's life from this acting perspective with Willem Dafoe. He is a fantastic actor, and I look forward to looking at his life again. Vincent Van Gogh is such a story.
This looks very interesting.
It's a great trailer. If you haven't clicked on this trailer yet, go to our show notes and click on it. It looks very intriguing. Speaking of intriguing, there's a movie called Green Book that is based on a true story of a Italian-American bouncer, stereotype, who is hired to drive a classical pianist on tour in the South, but the pianist is an African-American gentleman, and this takes place in the 1960s, so there's all sorts of issues there with race relations.
This reminds me of Lord of the Rings, Steve, because
Viggo Mortensen?
Yes. I mean, he I think he was there, Steve.
But do you see how much he's changed? Do you see? Did you click
he
on
did.
This trailer? He
I did.
Looks like he is unrecognizable.
All right. So if I was going to go to a movie this week, this is the movie I would go see.
Okay.
This looks excellent.
It really does.
And it's the great example. There's race issues going on here. There's sort of a refinement of how to be a better man going on there, because a classical pianist is teaching our driver,
our grunt. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. How to maybe be more refined.
Be a better man.
And obviously there's stereotypes going on. This looks really good. I saw the trailer from this when I last went to the movie theater.
Mahershala Ali plays the pianist in this one, and this one is directed by Peter Farrelly, one of the Farrelly brothers.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
That is, because I didn't get the feeling that this was a comedy at all.
I don't think this is a comedy. I'm sure there are funny things that happen as a result of this odd couple, but it's definitely not a comedy. This is definitely a deep drama. I look forward to The Green Book. This week on Netflix, they're opening a new documentary just simply called Dogs. This is a 6-part documentary about our relationship with our dogs.
Well, there you go. We love man's best friend, or person's best friend, as we would like to say today.
Yeah, dogs are a very important part of our lives. You have a dog, we have a dog here at the house, and it's a very important part of our family.
Steve, I talk to my dog all the time.
Yeah?
And she answers.
She's the one who talks back the family?
Well, she talks back to me. She's a good listener.
That's good. She's the good listener in the house.
She takes me for a walk.
There you go. Chip, you really need to go for a walk. Here's your leash. We're going to go for a walk. Dogs are great. I've heard such great things about this documentary. I look forward to that on Netflix. But even more important on Netflix this week is finally we're going to get The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Have you heard about this one?
No, I haven't, but I do see who's directing and written.
Yes, this is Joel and Ethan Coen. The Coen brothers are back, and this time it's a good movie as opposed to the last two or three that have really not been great films. This one I've heard so much about. I've been hearing about it for a year. They took it around the film circuit last summer, and this is currently 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I look forward to this one.
It's about the Old West, Steve.
Yep, and with all of the normal cast and crew from the Coen Brothers films that we've come to love over the years, they're all in there, and this one is really special. They opened it in theaters last Friday so that they can get on the ballot for the Oscars because it's that good.
Oh, how excellent.
I look forward to The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You have been reading a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Robert Glover. You're going to have to tell me all about this.
Steve, this is about nice guys.
Uh-huh. And how they finish first?
Oh, not always. Oh. Not always. Oh. About how introduce havoc into other people's lives.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm sitting there reading. This is a self-help book, just so we know. And I just ran across it. I happened to pick it up. Mm-hmm. I started reading it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this could be me.
Mm.
So this talks about men. Basically, the solutions. I'll just give you the solutions. The solutions are men need to be around men.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've been to a party and you haven't sat around and talked to a bunch of men or gone out camping or gone to the basketball game or done something with other men, and how we kind of interact with each other, and how having your hobbies, having things for you to do, and being able to articulate what you want is so important to a man's life.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling, the story of two men who come together and talk about things. This is a great way for us to spend our time learning about ourselves with other people.
Now, one of the tropes of a person who is a nice guy, and by the way, this is not an introduction that you can be a jerk to people.
Okay.
This
That's
truly
good.
Is about an individual, a male individual, coming to terms of what they want in life.
Hmm.
And one of the things I enjoy most about you, and especially with your relationship with your wife, is that Steve likes Doctor Who.
Yes, I do.
Steve likes Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Steve likes Mr. Science Theater.
Yep, that's the list. You can stop pretty much there.
Well, and Steve likes bad movies.
Yes, I do.
All right, so, but that doesn't, Steve's love of these, it's he has no problem with that. And his wife has accepted him for loving those things.
Yes,
and basically
has.
Said, find a friend to do a podcast with.
That's
so
right.
Can talk
go
about
sit
it.
In the basement for a couple hours.
That's right. Go find something. Well, that's really important because uh-huh. if you can articulate what you want, the spouse, your wife, for my example, can react to that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, can allow you to go and have your good times.
And I certainly allow her to have her things that she loves to do. And she has time to go do her things that she loves to do. And they might be mutual things that we love to do
sure,
together. And they
sure.
very, very well might not be.
But if you cannot, or you're having a difficult time really getting down with who you are, mm-hmm. what you really like, what ends up happening, there are ways that the human body, the male human, has adapted to that,
mm-hmm.
and they can work to please others. They have a lot of habits that are learned, and they're just being basically because you adapted them, and they really put you at a disadvantage in the relationship. I'm going to give it to you in the way that maybe a better way. They drive your spouse crazy,
mm-hmm.
And it's because you just haven't adapted. I mean, you haven't articulated what you want. This is about identifying these bad habits mm-hmm. that the male has, and also about trying to correct them. And in fact, if you go to Amazon and you start going through the reviews of this book, you know, there are so many other reviews going, hey, I read the first chapter and I started crying because this is me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just picked this book up. I it wasn't like I sat there and go, oh, I got to find this book. I found this book. I started going through it. And I go, oh my goodness, this could be me. And I started identifying these negative habits. So part of it, as I learned a little bit about myself, part of it I learned a little bit about this is dealing with your mental part and also doing some of your physical part, because it does talk about intimate relationships and stuff like that. This is a really kind of an interesting study and an interesting way of looking at today's male and maybe some of the challenges. And I recognize that there are many things that I do. I play basketball with a group of people a couple times a week, and I'm very happy when I'm doing this. And these are people who are different ages.
Mm-hmm.
They're from different backgrounds. But guess what? We get together and we play basketball. That is really important to have this outlet for male. Steve and I do a podcast mm-hmm. every week. It's very important that we do this because it teaches us some. I've become a better person from doing this.
And it gives us that ritual that every week we are devoted to getting this done, which certainly might be that one thing in the week that you go, okay, that is something that's going to happen. Other than that, it's all laundry and dishes.
Well, exactly. And there was another part that I keep drawing. The number of books that we've read over mm-hmm. the last few years. I read a Joseph Campbell book a long time ago. He's pulling this, a scene from that into this book. I've read a number of self-help books. He's bringing those into this. This is kind of a movement. There are actually groups of people who get together and they go through this. I don't necessarily think I need to do that, although I could definitely see how that could benefit me. What I got from this is to find a group of men,
yeah.
And whether you're watching the Bears game on Sunday night, afternoons because that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
or you're playing golf, or you're doing something together,
mm-hmm.
You get together and you play games, something like that.
Yeah,
it's real important for men to kind of work with each other.
Yeah,
and it draws us out. It helps us become more accepting of each other. But more importantly, it helps those who love us to also come to terms that we are a complete person.
Awesome.
I absolutely ate this up. If you are having a difficult time with relationships or something like that, this mm-hmm. may be the type of book that you need to seek out.
It's called No More Mr. Nice Guy. It's by Ronald Glover, and you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Chip, I've got bad news again. Remember last week I had bad news that Christmas was canceled. This week, Chip, Turkey Day has been moved.
What?
Yeah, they moved Turkey Day to Sunday this year, so it's this upcoming Sunday, November 18th. That's Turkey Day this year.
That's the week the week of Thanksgiving.
Right.
Not Thanksgiving
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, Turkey Day is not on Thanksgiving this year. Sorry, everyone.
It's interesting that Netflix would choose to release this on Sunday and not just release it on the Thursday.
Oh, no, no, no. The Netflix release will be on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. It's Turkey Day that's been moved from Thanksgiving to Sunday. Let me explain. Turkey Day is a day that we sit around and watch Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's the day that we watch turkeys, bad movies.
But Thanksgiving is Turkey Day 2.
Well, yeah, the kind of like the sequel to Turkey Day, because on Thanksgiving Day, a lot of people will have turkey for dinner, and then they can watch the new season of Mystery Science Theater. Season 12 is being released on Thanksgiving Day. That is November 22nd, you see.
Oh, so where would somebody watch Turkey Day, the Mystery Science Theater?
The Turkey Day Marathon. You can go to mst3kturkeyday.com. It's on Shout Factory again this year. Shout Factory still has the rights to all the classic episodes. And we are going to see, again, a full day's worth of bad movies with brand new hosted segments in between with both Joel and Jonah.
Oh, really? So they're going to have the classic host and the new host.
Uh-huh. Working together like a family would on Thanksgiving or on Turkey Day.
Well, this is how you make the revenue, baby.
Yeah, I look forward to this. I will be out of communication on Sunday watching MST3K for Turkey Day, and then on Thanksgiving watching the new season on Netflix. I look forward to the Gauntlet is what they're calling it. Last year they called it The Return. Now it's called The Gauntlet.
So, Steve, after Turkey Day,
uh-huh,
and before
Thanksgiving, uh-huh.
In our area, in the Chicago area, there's a place called Huntley, Illinois.
Oh, boy.
And on the 21st,
uh-huh,
they do have the Turkey Testicle Festival.
The day before Thanksgiving, annual Huntley Turkey Testicle Festival, where you can come and have all the turkey balls you need.
Have a ball?
I have a ball. Or two. Or three.
Well, this is one of the most joyous times of the year, Steve. Uh-huh.
Not for the turkeys.
They have a higher gobble after this.
I just think of the Muppet movie where Kermit says, "Oh, I just think of all those frogs on crutches after you eat the frog legs."
Well, this is at Parkside Bar,
yes,
here in Huntley.
Come on out.
And the Turkey Testicle Festival is going to have, you can eat those, and then you can also watch a bunch of bands,
yeah,
and drink a few beers.
It's their local festival in a lot of ways. Huntley really circles the wagons on the Turkey Testicle Festival the day before Thanksgiving.
And then you get together with your family.
Uh-huh.
You're going to watch the Mystery Science Theater. That's what Steve will do, uh-huh, on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Steve, is there anything that's going to happen possibly after that day?
Any annual traditions that happen after Thanksgiving, like that Friday after Thanksgiving, you know, when everything goes black, that Black Friday. Oh, yeah, I don't go to the stores on Black Friday. I'm too busy going to Chicago TARDIS. And yes, Chicago TARDIS 2018 is happening on Friday after Thanksgiving, as it always does, at the Westin Lombard. And yes, all weekend I will be there talking with all of the Doctor Who stars. There's so many people coming this year.
All right, so this takes place right next to Yorktown Mall. There's that, mm-hmm, hotel there.
Yep.
Which all the seems like all the guests enjoy having a mall.
Yeah.
Right next to them because
Black Friday is such an American tradition. All these British people come over and they go, "Oh, Black Friday.
What
is this Black Friday?" And they love looking at it. Tony Lee, who is one of the stars that shows up every year. He has been for almost 20 years now. He really relishes the day that he can go and just hang out at the Target right in the parking lot or go over to the Yorktown Mall and experience Black Friday.
And then, you know, basically go back over to the hotel, be put on a panel, and have, uh-huh, everybody love him.
Everybody loves Tony. Everybody loves Tony. He'll be doing his hallway con where he just sits in the hallway and talks with people. That's his favorite thing to do. There's so many great stars coming this year. Pearl Mackey, Jenna Coleman are the two biggest names that are arriving. Those are two of the companions for the last few years of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Tony Curran, who played Vincent Van Gogh in Doctor Who, is going to be there, so we can talk to him about that Willem Dafoe role of Vincent Van Gogh and maybe ask him some questions there. And Ian McNeice, who played Churchill so many times and so wonderful in Doctor Who, and he was so wonderful in Doc Martin, too. So Ian McNeice is going to be in town, and I'm sure my mother will want to go shake his hand because she really likes him.
And let's make sure we're very clear. Chicago TARDIS is for Doctor Who fans.
Yes.
And those who like Doctor Who fans.
And those who hang out with Doctor Who fans and begrudgingly go to conventions with Steve. I mean, with people who love Doctor Who.
So definitely we'll see Chris Mao and his wife over there from the Blue Box Cafe.
Yep, I see them every year. They're definitely going to be there. There's so many people in our little circle of Chicago friends who are going to be there. We're going to talk to Taylor Dethridge. Maybe she'll come on and talk to us next week before we get all started on this convention. There's so many friends that we'll go see over there.
Well, how wonderful. Last year, I had a good time.
Yes, you did.
And, you know, I'm not a Doctor Who guy.
But you're a people person. You had fun being there with the people.
It's a blast. Because, first of all, they love these characters. Mm-hmm. And those guys will come up onto a panel and they'll cheer. Mm-hmm. And it's big enough and small enough at the same time.
I love it. I love this convention. It is such a small convention that you can get interaction with these stars. But it's still big enough that we get these stars to come in. And they're there. And we enjoy that time so much.
And once again, that's in Lombard, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it's ChicagoTARDIS.com. Is that where you can find more information about it and get tickets?
Or go to our show notes. We have all the information there, and I'll put in some of the old shows from last year where we talked to all these guys last year. We had so much fun last year. We want to thank our guest Tim Cate for joining us today. Again, you can go to his website, timcatemagicshow.com, and find out all about his black magic that he does, and he scares the children. No, he's
a family friendly
magician. He's a family friendly birthday magician. He's great. He does a great show. I want to thank him for coming in and talking to us about The Haunting of Hill House. If you have a suggestion, like Tim did, ask us. Go on the Facebook. Go on Twitter. Give us a call. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. We are open to your suggestions. We'd love to talk to you about it. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve, with some turkey in our belly.
Yeah, we got some plans. I will have seen Turkey Day by the time we talk again, and we'll have some plans for Thanksgiving and Black Friday and Chicago TARDIS and my birthday. Okay, all right. It's a kind of a busy week next week. We're going to have some fun. Come on back next week. We'll talk about it. If you need more information, go to our website, TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Or on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, and every day of the week. You can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. I just want to think for things that we don't talk about. What I want to talk about is what I want to think for.